Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the Gilcast. This is Simulcast on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast Network and Roto Grinders Podcast Network. I'm Davis Matic. I'm joined by only two-thirds of a fish this week. Nate Noling, actually, he died of injuries sustained by D.D. Westbrook. That's not actually true. It's 11 o'clock at night, Central Time. We called Nate. We G-chatted him. We texted him. He's just asleep, Sammy. He's just asleep, bro.
I think he just was basking in the glow of playing Matt Schaub in cash and smashing for 450 yards, and he's just like, yeah, I'm good. Just gonna rest it up.
Nate's lineup beat me by 2.5 points, and his ROI beat me by about 97%, I think.
Yeah, I just think he had a good day, and he didn't want your negativity to bring him down.
I think it's fair. And you know what? Honestly, I think the negativity of like losing every 1v1 and losing, like, I think it's like starting to bleed over into just like all my future decisions. I'm like, okay, well, like, what's like, instead of thinking like, okay, what's the most realistic outcome for all of these players? I'm just thinking like, okay, what's the worst possible scenario for these guys? And like, that's like actually not a joke. That's like a real way that tilt can impact your play. That's a thing that happens in poker a lot. Like going on tilt in DFS is like a little bit less noticeable because it's a lot more like push button, play this from the lineup. But there's like, I think I probably don't play Deshaun Watson in cash today. If I had been on a winning streak, I think I would have just played one of the 5K quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's one of those things like you run into a couple of sick coolers and get stacked off in poker, and then you're afraid that everybody's got the nuts for like the next 2 weeks. Like, I kind of get that. And, you know, we can talk about how we constructed our lineups and, you know, all that stuff. But, dude, this sucks. You're on a losing streak and you got to talk about it on the Gilcast
terrible. Like, at least when I lose in other sports, I can just do it in peace. Like, no one's like crawling up my butt, like asking me how my day went. If I'm losing, if I'm like punting off like 4 NBA slates in a row, which by the way, it's all it is. I lost 4 slates in a row, and like I've lost 4 NBA slates in a row 100 times in my life, and no one ever crawled up my butt and asked me how I was doing. But instead, now I have people tweet. I got people tweeting at me like, "Dude, you gonna be tilted on the podcast? Saw you had a zero." I have people sending me games. I have people sending me games like $10 head to head. So like, dude, can't wait to listen to the podcast. And I'm just like, there's nothing I can do.
You also have dudes sending you $500 games.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, shout out to the guy sending me $500 games and playing Saquon Barkley. I mean, that's, you do what you got to do, bro. Taking that L today was not fun.
Yeah, I caught a bit of that Twitter conversation where you like pivoted to to Kuti because you were behind going into the games, and then
yeah.
the fish were like getting on you about it.
Well, like you love to be so sharp and like realize someone has you covered, and then swap, and then the guy you swap to gets benched and doesn't play a snap for DeAndre Carter.
You're just running good, man.
Dude, like I cooler Kiki Cutie into getting stone cold benched by his NFL team. Like, that's how much my mush powers are in play right now.
Well.
So in case the listeners haven't figured it out from Sammy's jovial mood, he smashed today because he's really sharp, and what he did in his lineup was pretty good. I'll just go ahead and read Nate's team since he's not here right now. And we can kind of talk through it because Nate and I had a lot of overlapping players. So Nate played Matt Schaub, Leonard Fournette, Chris Carson, Mike Thomas, Dede Westbrook, Mike Williams, who was kind of the key to the slate and then not the key to the slate, and then Darren Waller, Latavius Murray, and the Chargers defense. So we all three played different quarterbacks, which I'm pretty sure is the first time that's happened this year where we've all played a different quarterback.
Maybe didn't last week I played Ryan. Did you both play Goff or somebody
we
else?
We both played Goff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that hurts.
So yeah. Nate played Matt Schaub and, lived to tell the tale. Matt Schaub had like 480 passing yards, a 2-point conversion and a passing touchdown. And I gotta hand it to him. I thought it was really bad and stupid. And you know what? It turns out, Sammy, quarterback scoring just doesn't matter. They all get on DraftKings specifically, they all get in between 15 or 23. The guys who can get more than that are like the running quarterbacks, and that's it. But there was not one running quarterback on the slate. Like Lamar wasn't on the slate. Kyler was not ever really going to run that much against the Saints. I don't think like Kyler was not for me. I didn't even play him in GPP this week. This was the first time this year that I hadn't done that. So I thought. And that's probably why I played Deshaun Watson, was because he was projected for so many more points than all the other quarterbacks. But also, quarterback just doesn't matter. They all get the 20 points.
I mean, Nate just has big fat nardos, bro. I even halfway considered Schaub. Like, I thought about him at some point, and I was like, no, I can't do that. Whereas Nate just looked at his spreadsheet and he's like, well, you know, I think that, you know, he projects for like, you know, X amount of share of, you know, whatever the mean average, blah, blah, blah. And he just like plugged them in for super cheap. But dude, he went with like two crappy receivers. He went with Mike Williams.
He gutted his whole lineup to get Darren Waller in.
Dude, he's a fish. Like, how did he cash?
He cashed because he had the three nut cash game running backs. Michael Thomas, like, he had this projection that I thought he was going to be like 70% owned. He was like 25 to 30% owned and stuff. And he was like so clear. Like, do you think people didn't play him because of Patrick Peterson?
I have no idea. Maybe. I mean, it's 2019. Do people still do the quarterback or the receiver cornerback matchup?
Oh, big time. People big time into that.
Dude, that's wild. I mean, Thomas for me was
he was projected for more points than McCaffrey. He was projected for the most points of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a stone lock. I mean,
yeah, he was the first
against Eric. I mean, even if you went and read the article about Peterson shadowing, Peterson himself said, "I will not follow Mike Thomas into the slot." Well, guess what Mike Thomas does? He just hangs out in the slot and runs outs and curls all day. Like, of course he's not going to shadow him the whole time. And even if he did, like, who cares? Michael Thomas is always open. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. He was 30% owned in the big $25. 70% of people out there are fish, in my humble opinion. So
big time fish. If you didn't play Michael Thomas, I mean, feel free to take my games again this next week. I'm sure whatever's going to happen, you're going to end up beating me anyways, even if you do feign the stone cold nuts. But those are the kind of games I want.
He's going to spend all his money at quarterback.
I just had to really access the upside of 265 passing yards from Deshaun Watson. Thought that was really important to get into my lineup. I mean, I had Derek Carr and Matt Stafford teams. And the Stafford team, I think, clearly made the most sense. That was with Chase Edmonds and Darren Waller. But I think that team was the best team from a construction standpoint, because Stafford was just the best play, and that's who you played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I actually had, when we weren't gonna have Rex Burkhead, I was highly considering Sony Michel in cash, which really felt gross. And I wasn't even considering him until you guys were like, bro, he projects so well. And I'm like, well, if I use him as my third running back. And I actually had him in last night, Deshaun Watson. And this morning it was just like, no, I can't go Sony. And so I went back down to Stafford. But I get the idea that, I mean, it was a couple weeks ago that he scored like 55 points or whatever and broke the slate. And this was kind of a situation kind of similar. So I get it, but at the end of the day, like, those performances by quarterbacks are big time outliers.
They're just so rare, and it's so, like, unless you think like the median outcome for a quarterback is in the 30s, like, you can't be playing Cameron Brait to get him in there. And that's what I did. I played a play that was so bad that projected for such he was either going to get 12 points or he was going to get 4 points. And those were like the only possible outcomes for Cameron Brait. He was never getting more than that. And I was just like, you know what? You gotta just jam that guy in there. You just really gotta get after it with Cameron Brait. I mean, Stafford was the guy I wanted. He just, the Giants are egregious, and they just, like, I think the Giants defense, like, I think they actually hate Daniel Jones. I think they think it's funny to watch Daniel Jones fumble. So, like, they try and give up as much points as they can in the beginning so that Daniel Jones just has to spend the rest of the game just, like, dropping back and just making mistakes.
I think it's pretty funny. I was surprised that the Lions were only 1.6% owned in cash.
People played, like, the Jaguars defense, who were $100 more instead. That was the chalk D.
Yeah, they were super chalk, and they did really well. I think they got 15. Like, they just really got in Darnold's head. Like, is Darnold broken right now?
He's just bad, bro. He's just not good. you can't break something that's shitty.
I feel like Sam Darnold had a lot of promise, and he was on the right track, and then some bad stuff started happening to him in New England, and now he's shook, and he kind of reminds me of you when it comes to DFS. You're like the Sam Darnold of DFS.
Well, I never had mono, though. You got Sam Darnold was definitely, he was on a good path, and then he got mono, and then, like, he just, like, watched Luke Falk fart around and was like, God, I'm terrible, and I'm better than that guy, so I gotta get back. I gotta get after it. The Lions defense was there were a lot of defenses right above 2800 that I thought all those defenses were really good. People who played the Patriots defense, I mean, just how much, like,
pure, so
dude,
pure.
People are so bad, and they just keep getting there, and it hurts, bro.
I forget who it was, but some guy tweeted at like 7 p.m. tonight, some DFS guy was like, imagine not playing the New England Patriots in DFS, what are you doing? And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, that's how it is. We're just going to pay 4.3 for fantasy defenses. Oh, my God. Nate's texting us right now.
Nate's texting us. He's gonna get to come in then. He's going to get to come in late.
Dude, we get to hear about the Matt Schaub decision.
Shoot. Fell asleep. Just woke up. Nate Noling?
That's just like Nate. He doesn't even swear. He just goes, shoot. Golly, yeah. I'm sorry, you guys.
Dude, I'm just like, so, like, of course I'm back in here looking at the massive $25 single entry double up again and just seeing just how close I was.
I mean, you were really close last week, right?
You want me to read you the team that was the very last cashing team in the $25 single entry double up?
Oh, I do.
Okay, Deshaun Watson at quarterback. They played Marlon Mack, 16 DraftKings points. Latavius Murray, of course. Super good value play, AJ Brown. Pretty good cash play. DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Stills, Darren Waller, and then mega sharp flexed Cortland Sutton. Just you, four wide receivers in cash. Everyone knows that's what you do. And then, of course, the Jaguars defense at 21% owned. Just a smash for the Jaguars defense.
It hurts so bad when people who are so bad at DFS beat you. and take your spot.
Well, what's more tilting is when you realize, like, at some point, you do not have an inexhaustible pile of money to just shovel at these fish to play against them. And at some point, if you just keep running bad, you will just run out of money to play against the people who are bad.
We need to set up a GoFundMe for you, bro. I'm going to tweet out, hey, my friend, he's very sick.
He's got fishitis.
Very bad. Please help. Please retweet for awareness.
It's just like some of these games I get, I'm like, I can't imagine how bad you are at DFS and how people are still able to beat me. It's just one of those things, buddy.
All right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. So did we play the same running backs? I played Carson, Latavius, and Chase Edmonds.
Yeah. So that was the team that I had until about 11:33 a.m. And then I swapped to the three running backs that I played. And I think the three running backs I played were just so very clearly the three plays. They were Latavius Murray, Chris Carson, and Leonard Fournette. Those dudes racked up about 85 touches. And this is just some classic Leonard Fournette on the day here. So Leonard Fournette had 66 rushing attempts on his first rush attempt of the day. How many rushing attempts do you think he got the rest of the way? And then how many rushing yards do you think that he ended with? Do you know the answer to this question?
Okay, before I look, I'm going to guess that he had 25 rushing attempts and ended with 83 yards. Is that right?
So first carry of the day, 66 yards. He ends with 76 rushing yards.
It was like that one day where he had like 19 carries for 6 yards and then broke off the 60-yard.
Yeah, it was like the Thursday night. So 19 carries for 76 yards and he had a touchdown. He was actually in the end zone, called it through. How do you think the referees ruined his touchdown from the 1 yard? First and goal, 1 yard line, forward progress. He's in the end zone. In what way do you think the referees decided that he had not scored?
I have no idea.
They just blew it dead in the middle of the pile. They just blew it dead. He was heading into the end zone. His offensive linemen were pushing him, and they just blew it dead.
Smooth.
And then the Jaguars ran, I think, the dumbest play that the team. They ran a power sweep with Leonard Fournette, who, God bless his heart, he's about as fast as an offensive lineman. He looks like Todd Gurley out there on the edge. And then Leonard Fournette got so mad at not scoring that he threw his helmet off and was benched for the rest of the game by his coach.
That happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Third and goal, Rykel Armstead came in. And then instead of perhaps getting a chance for the bonus on the last drive, Rykel Armstead iced the game because Leonard Fournette had thrown his helmet and was benched by Doug Marrone.
I mean, here's the thing. You can talk about how close he was, but Leonard Fournette was never in any danger of scoring a touchdown.
No, it's true.
Never.
It's so
going to happen. He is allergic to the freaking end zone, bro. It's like two magnets of the exact same, like, polarization. It just will repel him every time. It's true.
Yeah, it's like I did a podcast with Rich Rebar the other day, and he was like, yeah, everyone talks about how bad he runs at scoring touchdowns, but they're just never going to use him that way. Like, it's literally an impossibility. So when you project him, just give him zero touchdowns and hope he's a good enough value without that.
He got, what, 20, yeah. 26 touches, 7 for 60 through the air? Like, I mean, he did what you expected, but he could just be a smash if he just scored a touchdown once ever. And
when you log on to the fat net, that's what you get.
He yelled about the play calling coming off the field. He's never
there. Here's Nate Noling.
That's
he's
the
here,
cool
everybody.
Story, Nate. Way to show up.
I was so tilted about Fournette.
Nate, turn your video on. We're publishing this video.
Oh, no, we're not.
No, I'm dead ass putting this on the Takecast.
Davis is poor. He needs to start making.
Yeah, I'm poor. I need new revenue streams.
All right, let me figure this out. Yeah, Fournette was so.
Wasn't good. Sammy, I need you to talk to me a little bit about Edmonds from someone who had to live through the tilt of him leaving injured. Cause I played him on FanDuel, but I need you to walk through Edmonds for me.
I mean, so I'll walk through Edmonds, but I honestly wasn't that tilted because I knew within like 10 minutes of the slate that I was going to smash. So,
yep.
You know, it was just one of those things like I was fine. But Arizona's really bad. And they're going to run a lot of plays.
They're not really bad, dude.
But here's the thing. They have games where they're going to be really bad because they go three and out hella quick. And a team like New Orleans that just like grinds out like 6-yard Michael Thomas catches and 7-yard Latavius Murray runs and just like grinds it out. And then Arizona goes three and out and then it's over. You know, I thought that Edmonds was a good play because if I had David Johnson at 6,200.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, if I could quote you from our group chat, you said he's David Johnson at 6,200.
He is.
Which is not wrong. Matter. No, it's not wrong. Yeah, running backs don't matter. It's true.
So I was fine with, like, 10 rushes from Chase Edmonds, and he'd get 6 or 7 targets. And I'm like, that's great. Like, they'll be behind. And I thought it was setting up decently for some trash second half catches for Chase Edmonds.
Well, he didn't even make it that far, right?
No, he got snapped out in the third quarter. Like, he just, like, ran off the field super hobbled. And I was like, oh, he's dust. Like, there's no way he's coming back. Like, I'm sure he won't play next week, but I knew immediately that dream was over.
Wow, it's
like,
really going to be Zach Zenner season on Halloween night.
That is
spooky.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, we all played Carson, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how Carson didn't get the bonus, bro.
Here's how Carson didn't get the bonus.
Because Fournette sucks.
Fournette sucks, but Carson sucks, too. What actually happened was Seattle apparently had just decided they were not interested in forward progress of the ball in the second half of this game against Atlanta. It's like let me read to you the results of their possessions in the second half. Three plays, -5 yards, punt. 3 plays, 7 yards, punt. 10 plays, 78 yards, field goal, punt. They had 4 drives in the second half, and 3 of them were 3 and outs. So it's just like, what are you going to do?
They were up 24-0. They were up 24-0, and they just shut it down. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to let Matt Schaub do his thing. And Nate was rubbing his nipples furiously the entire second half.
Yeah, this is your floor for Matt Schaub.
Well, okay, here's the Matt Schaub thing. I mean, the Falcons are a pass heavy team. Schaub was in a dome at home with Julio Jones, Austin, like in an efficient offense. I didn't think they were going to struggle to like have passing volume. And even though I knew Schaub was going to be less efficient than Matt Ryan, like he was 4,700 or whatever. It was just like when you look at the passing attempts and the efficiency from his receivers, there was like, I don't know. I didn't feel as bad about the Matt Schaub thing as you guys felt like when I locked him.
What I don't get is why you didn't just play Derek Carr, who
Nate, we've been roasting you while you weren't here. We need hear your justification for going hella cheap at like 4 different positions.
6 positions to get Darren Waller in.
Yeah, like, Darren Waller, I think it's
just jamming in like 4 stone punts to get Darren Waller's 8 points in.
Yeah, the Darren Waller
and you still
hurt.
Beat me.
You need to start sending Davis $500.
I might need to. I mean, literally, here's what I did. Basically, it started with – I told you guys all week, running back is terrible. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
But it wasn't terrible, though. We had so many good plays. Here, okay, well, we need to rewind before you do the Darren Waller thing because we're talking about running back. If we're going to talk about how we run bad, we got to talk about how we run good. None of us really considered Ty Johnson, who was pretty chalky.
That is not running good. That's just being sharp.
That's sharp. Ty Johnson, I did not think – was a great play.
That was legit donkey chalk. Like the column I wrote in the read option this week, I called him donkey chalk, and I thought it was obvious.
I wish you would have told me before I ran all my bids in my high stakes fantasy football.
Yeah, I kind of let you empty the clip for it in our super flex.
I mean, I will say the other running backs suck too. So they're what? It's no one cares. He was owned though.
I know he was owned because people thought he was going to get the carry on workload.
How owned was he?
I'm trying to find, like, obviously you only see the winning team, so
yeah, you can't scroll down. Those fools are all at the bottom.
People wanted an excuse to play Ty Johnson.
Ty Johnson in the $25 single entry double up was 24.1% owned. Yep.
Mother of God, are you serious?
He got 4.8 DraftKings points.
Dude, how did you not cash?
Well, I took a zero. I took a stone zero from a guy who played about 10 snaps. So that is how.
And you also played Cameron Brate.
I mean, Ty Johnson literally got 10 rushing attempts with 4 targets. So it was 50% of the rushing attempt share with 8% of the target share. Like
that was literally like my exact projection for him. Yeah.
So I wasn't even surprised about the Ty Johnson thing. So I did struggle with running back because I mean, other than Fournette and Carson, like the guys that I was looking at was like, I thought Chubb had a good like share of the offense, but I couldn't play
You just
Chubb.
Named all the locks though. Fournette, Carson, Chubb. Murray.
Well, those are the three guys that I jammed in. Murray, Carson, and Fournette.
Running back is not where you started to make questionable decisions.
I mean, I jammed in the highest volume 3 running backs I could find and that I felt good with.
Yes, all of that was fine. I don't think either of us are critiquing that strategy.
I went cheapest at quarterback and then wide receiver. I went Michael Thomas because he was the lock. Dede Westbrook was the next guy that I felt the best about from a volume standpoint. And then Mike Williams at 4K was the cheapest other playable wide receiver I could find. And then Darren Waller and Chargers.
That's where it's so weird. Like you just so many cheap guys to get in a tight end.
Dude, I don't understand this at all. Nate,
I don't get it either.
Nate, Mike Williams?
Why did I play Mike Williams? Yeah, because I thought Mike
Keenan
Williams
was going to be limited, bro.
No, I actually thought Mike Williams was almost in play, like depending on Keenan's health at 4K. And if Keenan being limited at all, like his target share was already good enough that I could see playing Mike Williams even with Keenan fully healthy at 4K. So
bro,
it was one of those.
Do you know how cash games work? You want a good floor. Like Mike Williams does not have a good floor.
You know who really doesn't have a good floor?
D.D. Westbrook.
So he turned 8.7 targets per game into 1 target and leaving at halftime.
Dude, you guys knew, though. You guys knew. We were texting last night, and you guys were like, well, I'm kind of sketch because he only played 53 snaps out of 80 last week. And
that's a lot of snaps, dude. 50 out of 80 snaps is a lot.
That's two-thirds of the snaps. That's 66%
of the snaps. He's a slot wide receiver, though. So it's like he doesn't need – like Chris Conley can go out there and block. I don't care.
Dede Westbrook has had like 11, 9, and 8 targets over the past 3 weeks, and he was 4.5K. Like I didn't feel bad about that one.
Well, you kind of should feel bad because me and Davis were talking about this. We've had a lot of guys get dusted the last couple weeks. Like I had Matt Ryan last week. I had Chase Edmonds this week. You guys, like, you had Roethlisberger.
He played 10 snaps and left the field hurt.
Yeah, played more than 10 snaps. He played the whole first half.
So the whole thing is like you can get wrecked by somebody leaving the game, and you knew that Dede was legitimately hurt.
Here's
like,
so the other thing is though this was the 2v2. It was Chargers defense, Dede Westbrook versus Mike Williams, Jaguars defense. Well, I didn't really care about the Jaguars defense, but I mean obviously Mike Williams scoring 9 DraftKings points more than Dede Westbrook would have made some money.
So, Sammy, just from a target projection standpoint, though, Dede Westbrook last week had 28% of his target share. The week before that was 27%. The week before that was 26%. So he had 3 weeks with above 25% target share coming into this week. I don't think at 4.5 you could say he was a bad play.
I don't want to say he's bad, but it was sketch. Like, you knew it was sketch. Like, you need to be honest. We're in a safe space right here.
I'm gonna be honest. It like went one ear in one ear and out the other. Like I thought about it last night and I didn't think about it at all today. I just was like,
there it is.
I just was looking at the projections and I was like, he's fine.
I'll wear it on Waller. I'm not gonna wear it on D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, you gotta wear it on Waller.
At 4.5, D.D. Westbrook had like one of the, I think it was like the top 12. top 12 target share percentage.
I actually think rewinding it, I think it was way worse to not play Kenny Stills than it was to do any of the rest of the things. Kenny Stills to me was like, and neither of you played him, and I know he didn't get any points, but to me he was like, so like when I was doing like optimal runs, I was like locking him in. He was like one of the four guys I was like pressing the lock button on. I thought he was clearly the play.
I was very afraid. I was afraid of not playing Stills. I had fear in my heart because I didn't play Stills.
Because he's like Will Fuller plus like a couple like 8 yard outs a game, and like that's huge. Like getting like an 8 point floor with Will Fuller deep targets is like massive.
I mean, you're saying he has an 8 point floor.
I projected him for 5 targets.
Yeah, and he got 5 targets.
So 5 targets with Kenny Stills' catch rate.
How are you breaking out the Texans targets if you have him for 5?
I'll pull up Houston.
Who are you projecting for more targets than him on that team? DeAndre, if you say Duke Johnson, I'm gonna freak out.
DeAndre, Kiki had 5 as well. I had
Kiki Duke played Johnson zero snaps. 0.0 snaps today.
I had Duke with 4. I had Darren Fells with 4. I had Jordan Akins with a couple.
So you had them with under 30 passing attempts?
No. Let's see. Projected passer.
How much was Tyrell Williams?
Whew. I'm sure he was free.
That's who you should have pivoted to, bro. Not Kiki Cutie.
Well, at the time, I didn't know that Kiki Cutie had been benched for DeAndre Carter.
Yeah, the DeAndre.
I didn't know that.
Davis, what did DR have Stills projected for? 6 targets?
I'm about to. Well, they don't do it like that. They just do it by market shares.
Okay, I have him at 5 point something, and I don't feel bad about that target projection at all for Stills. And I think you're fish if you think it was like 8 to 10.
So here was my thing. I played Cortland Sutton as my wide receiver 3.
That was good.
I thought Sutton was way better than Stills. I thought Cortland Sutton was going to see like 8 or 9 targets. I thought he was going to be trailing a lot. Big air yards guy. I thought that he'd get a big market share of those air yards. Like, he's just the number one where Stills is not. And they had $600 difference. And I really wanted to play Sutton. And he didn't even have that good of a game. But, dude, he had a couple like pass interferences and stuff like that that aren't going to show up as targets in the stat sheet. But like, he had the opportunity to have a pretty good game, and it didn't quite come through, but I really wanted him.
We had Stills for 18% market share. The thing with projecting him is you have to project him for a really high yards per target, so his projection is very high. Probably, okay, like, very high.
At an 18% target share, how are you getting more than 6-ish targets?
I don't know. He just was a lock, dude. Was a lock.
He thought that Watson was going to throw for 375 yards. So.
Yeah, that's also you have to factor in this analysis that I forgot that Houston sucks ass. So that was a big thing of like
even if Houston
I thought Houston was going to score a lot of points, and I thought that Oakland's pass defense was bad, but it turns out. They're basically the 85 Bears when facing the Houston Texans offensive line.
So, yeah, I don't know. Even if you projected Houston to throw 35 times at an 18% target share, that's 6.3 targets. So don't tell me that's 8-point floor. So, Sammy, the thing with Mike Williams to me was like, if you look at like anything with Mike Williams' air yards or volume that he's received over the past couple weeks.
A lot of air yards.
He leads the league in useless air yards, like just utterly useless, never going to be caught, never turning into receptions air yards. That's definitely Mike Williams.
So even with Keenan active, like,
what's his whopper, bro? Good. He's got that. He's got that good.
I mean,
Can't feed the family even, with Whopper, Nate. I don't know.
You can't feed the family with Whopper. Dude, I don't have anything.
5 and 6, he had 13 and 10 targets, and he was 4K with a potential chance of Keenan being – we didn't know how limited. There was like – I thought his average outcome, even if Keenan was fully healthy, was still a decent play at 4K.
I was going to play him if Keenan was out, but I felt like if Keenan played, I was over it because what I thought would happen is going to happen. Like Keenan Allen was just going to like get shot up with a bunch of shots.
And that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had Mike Williams for like an above 20% target share with an A dot of like 14. So it was like, that's a hard fade at 4K. That's just, he's the, who Davis apparently thought Kenny Stills was.
I mean, he was very similar in a way better matchup, a way better efficiency spot with a better quarterback and who like
less target share, less target share, less a dot.
I mean, 20% versus 18%, you're flipping coins.
You know what y'all's problem is you're messing around with these beta receivers. Like don't play beta receivers, play number one receiver. Just my two cents.
Sammy, who did you play at your receivers back?
I played Michael Thomas.
He played all alphas, dude.
Did he?
Yeah, I just played the alphas. Yeah, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I should have gone cheaper at tight end. That was stupid. Why did I play Waller?
I mean,
it was bad.
Playing Waller was bad. Playing Waller to get in.
That wasn't even how I looked at it, though.
It's just playing matchup. Like, Nate, I know you beat me. I don't care. It's just outrageous.
Matt Schaub was 4.7K for an Atlanta team that was going to throw an insane amount of times with guys like – with all efficient wide receivers. I don't know why you feel that dumb about this Matt Schaub play.
I just would have played Derek Carr. That's who I had.
I don't know. I had Matt Schaub projected higher.
I wonder. I bet Matt Schaub didn't even have a bad projection. I bet it was reasonable. Let me look.
I mean, Nate, I'll be honest. I don't even think it was that crazy that you played Schaub. Like, you just have giant cojones, and I respect you for that. It was just that you went so cheap at so many spots.
To get in like, a tight end who got eight points?
Yeah, Darren Waller's great. Like, he's fantastic, but – you know, Davis was kind of on this all week too, where he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, pay up at tight end," and finally you
it
went.
I played with it for 6 hours, and it really didn't make any sense to play Waller.
I mean, so. Waller was 5.9. It was a $3,100 difference between him and Jonnu Smith, and it's like, do you know what you can do with $3,100? You can play Matthew Stafford. You can play Cortland Sutton and Allen Robinson. Like, you can pay up at so many different spots for $3,000.
You know what's so tilting right now?
What?
I'm looking at the projections right now. And I honestly didn't even look when I made this decision, but
Matt Schaub is.
No, we had Jonnu for 2 more points than Cameron Bray.
Did you have the 100?
I'm pretty sure my lineup had the 100.
Bro, why didn't you play Jonnu Smith?
I legitimately liked Cameron Bray better.
Dude, I would have played Braid over Smith too, I think.
You should not say that on air. Like, I know we're trying to be transparent, but I would keep that under your hat.
No. I'm not going to feel bad about it. Tampa Bay, like getting exposure to a Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston chucked the ball deep offense compared to Ryan. Like, I don't understand why you're like – thinking this Jonnu Smith thing was a slam dunk. Jonnu Smith could have gone out
there. It wasn't a slam dunk. It's
Jonnu
just
Smith
like
could have gone out there 2.8 and put a zero up and like and you would
bro, he had a touchdown on the first like 3 minutes of the game.
Dude, he scored right away and I was like, I'm rich. Like, I'm not losing today, baby. Let's go, Jonnu. Dude, they don't throw Tampa does not throw to the tight end. They haven't done it all year.
Well, actually if I can correct you, Braid has actually had like 4 target games thrown in there. It's just Jonnu is like clearly going to take over a role in that offense that like was used, which was like Delanie Walker's like their possession wide receiver.
That's the thing. If you had Delanie Walker for 2.8, would you play him? Of course, he'd be a lock. Why would Jonnu Smith?
I don't know. If, I don't.
Wait. Why is Delaney a lock?
If he was 2.8?
Yeah, Delaney had like two targets in each of the last two games. He was not this massive targeted.
Sammy like, plays so fast and loose with the tight end position. Like, dude, Sammy, yeah. Like, Nate, you and I, like, really get into it. Like, oh, like, to target shares. And, like, Sammy's just like, dude, it's tight end. Who cares? Jonnu Smith firing it in. I'm a go.
Let's go. Who gives a rat's ass? It's tight end. Let's go cheap. Let's get a touchdown. And let's ball out with the rest of our lineups. You have to know. You have to know. You can always go value at quarterback and tight end and defense.
Yeah, that definitely works when Darren Waller doesn't get 34.
Which, if I would have gone value, I would have gone Hunter Henry or Evan Engram. I wouldn't have gone all the way down to Cameron freaking Braid or Jonnu Smith here.
That's because you're a fish, bro. Just jam in Jonnu and win the slate. Easy game.
And enjoy getting zeros from your tight ends.
I really enjoyed the zero from D.D. Westbrook. Cameron Braid had a reception. Cameron Braid had the first reception of the game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I thought I was actually doing fine. I was like, well, because, like, you know when you play that cheap dude, like the last dude in your lineup to make things work, and he just sits there in the first half with a zero, and, like, you're like, TTP, dude, trust the process. He's going to get some points. Like, he's been on the field. He's going to get some opportunities. But, like, inside, you're, like, really, really sweating it the whole time. So it's really sick when your value dude, like, at least has something for you to look at. Like, when you're sweating your games, like, you need him to, like, have, like, the orange, like, DraftKings text flash, or else you're just going to be miserable for the whole first half.
Bro, let me tell you, Jonnu got in the zone, and I don't even know what number Jonnu Smith is. So it's like, oh, who's that? It is 81. It's Jonnu Smith.
I knew it right away. And when Jonnu scored and I knew I had Brate, I was like, oh, it's just going to be one of those days again. Like, it's just going to be one of those days where, like, I just don't get there.
Yeah, you also have to understand that Ryan Tannehill's in town now, and Ryan Tannehill's the sheriff. And Jonnu Smith got six targets last week, and he got some downfield work as well. They like him.
So Tennessee plays Carolina on the road next week, mm-hmm. And I think some people are going to be like, "Dude, Tannehill, he's got it, dude. He knows what he's doing." Like, I think people are going to go to, like, Tannehill or maybe back to Jonnu again. I mean, and let me tell you. We got a big fat sample of Ryan Tannehill being one of the 10 worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and I don't think that getting cut from the Dolphins magically fixed him.
I mean, Nate is probably going to play Ryan Tannehill.
He's not cheap enough.
Dude, I was 0% to play a Ryan Tannehill.
I actually looked at it. I thought it made sense. Because there was a 5K quarterback lineup where you got Darren Waller and the three running backs that you and I played, and that lineup obviously cashes things.
Well, no, I did that. Well, I mean, I did cash. So I did that lineup and did. I just used Matt Schaub and to get the Chargers defense instead of whatever defense.
Nate, what did you score? Like 159?
Yeah, 159.
Okay.
So I did fine. I mean, it was a profitable day. I mean, the biggest thing was, like, I just didn't even look at my line. Like, looking back at my lineup now, Waller was the guy I should have been thinking that's the place to cut at. Where the whole time I was looking at, like, do I really want to pay up for Carson? Do I really want to pay? Like, because looking at Schaub, he would have been the place I would have upgraded. It wasn't like Waller was the one. Because, I don't know, Mike Williams and D.D. Westbrook weren't two values that I felt was thin.
Oh, my God. I'm so triggered. Someone just tweeted at me, Brian Poole entered Week 8 as Pro Football Focus fourth highest graded cornerback in the NFL. Hashtag defense matters to my D.D. Westbrook tilt tweet.
Oh, no.
They're trying to tell me that it was a cornerback that shut him down and not that he got hurt.
I'm so tired. I shouldn't have jumped on. I should have just slept through this whole thing. I won, and I'm tilted about this DD thing still. Sammy, what did you
do? Unjust, dude.
Nate, now that Davis is dead, which one of us is going to host the GoCast?
Not me. I played DD Westbrook, too.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing, Mike Williams. I'm looking it up. Sammy, you're a fish for not for thinking Mike Williams was as thin as he is.
Man, you're a fish. This is all just they're beta wide receivers. They're beta players.
Mike Williams literally is averaging over 100 air yards a game with Phillip Rivers as his quarterback, and he was 4K with potential for massive upside.
Nate, your logic here and the way you're trying to explain it to Sammy is like not it's like horrible. But Sammy, you're also like so like, dude, I'm only playing alphas. That's really
Sammy
stupid.
Played
too.
Jonnu Smith, got drunk and isn't thinking about anything, and is on Jonnu Smith Island here, and it's driving me so nuts because.
Dude, I played. Maybe you losers should try and be good. Maybe you should try to get good.
You have a 2.7 tight end with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, and you're trying to dunk on me, and I'm just not having it.
Nate, I got to set the scene for you, bro. I got to set the scene. So I'm up north in Northern California this weekend for a wedding. And I don't know if you're following the news, but, like, all of Northern California is on straight fire. And my seven-month pregnant wife and I decide at midnight we're getting the hell out of Dodge. Like, we're not staying the night at the hotel and leaving in the morning. We're just going to bone out in the middle of the night. And so we bone out. And we had to have AAA come and give us gas. The entire town is on blackout. Like, it is freaking craziness. There's fires burning on the mountainside. Like, it is just wild. And we get out, and my wife falls asleep, and I'm racing down the freeway, and I'm looking at my phone, right? I'm looking at my lineups, because that's the only responsible thing to do. And I have this epiphany. And the epiphany was Jonnu Smith. And it just came to me in a moment of clarity that I could pay up at every other position and get all the alpha plays I wanted. And I was just going to do it. And I did it, and I smashed. And life is good. I run pure. That's all I got to say. And I'm alive. I didn't burn to death either.
That's good, too.
I just want to
run good
once.
Aren't you glad you didn't play? Did Robert Woods get hurt in this game? I didn't watch.
No, Cooks got hurt.
Okay, so Woods played the whole game and got two targets with – Dude, Woods is legit dead. And you guys are – the fact that you thought about playing Robert Woods in cash at 6.3K.
I never thought about playing him. I just – like when we looked at it last week, but he was like $700 too expensive.
And God, I wish you had played him.
He had a 6.45 target share this week. I mean, just –
Two targets, but he also – but he did have four rushes.
Just gold.
He did have four rushes. What the hell?
Todd Gurley only had 10.
Dude, he legit had a negative area. He had legit negative air yards this week. You have Robert Woods.
Oh, dude.
Air yards.
I didn't even play him this week. How are we on Robert Woods? I didn't even play him.
Part of the brand, bro.
Next week? Are people going to play him next week? Did his price go up? Is he 6?
I don't even think – they're not on the slate, dude. They're coming home from London. Use your brain, dude.
Yeah.
I lost to a guy who didn't even know the Rams were playing in London.
You didn't know until Thursday.
I lost to someone who played Saquon Barkley over Michael Thomas, dude. Like, I'm taking L's everywhere.
Played Saquon Barkley in cash this week. And not like Saquon Barkley is a bad player, but just like that made no sense in the context of the slate.
Yeah, it would have taken me 1,000 lineups to touch Saquon.
The type of people who are beating me now are the type of people who don't realize that when you're losing in a head-to-head, you should swap off the optimal plays for suboptimal plays just to not be covered.
Hey, how many invites a week are you getting now, Davis?
I shit you not. I got like 25 this week. This is like not a joke. And here's the thing. I accepted some of them when I only had one lineup in, but after you've exported and you've put your GPP lineups into everything, it's like you got like 300 lineups on your screen. You can't you can't find your cash team. So yeah. I stopped. So some people got free money off me this way. One person called their head-to-head anti-Latavius Fish. And I played that one just because I thought that was really funny. He like called that. Oh. He like named the head to head anti Latavius Fish.
Did he any faded Latavius?
I did not click on the game because I just have so many games open. But I did. I did win that game.
I mean, imagine that, bro.
Can we take a second?
67% owned. That's it.
Can we take a second and just actually talk about our run good here and the fact that we got that Rex Burkhead news that took us off of the thinking about the James White, Sony Michel thing? Literally,
Here's the thing, though. Sony got 21 carries, had three goal line carries, so it's actually would have been fine, like in terms of usage.
He had exactly what I was concerned about: zero targets,
zero
zero passing game and was rushing touchdown dependent. And all week, I almost played him. If it wasn't for the Burkhead news, I probably would have freaking played him. That would have been terrible.
I mean, I played Chase Edmonds instead, so I didn't really gain a lot of equity there.
It was with Kirk being back that I thought Edmonds.
No, Kirk being back was not bad for Edmonds.
Yeah, dude, I would like the offense to be better. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
It just wouldn't be through him.
So I've gotten a couple emails about the show over the last couple weeks.
Oh yeah, do you want to read them?
Yeah, I'm gonna read one of them right now. A couple of them have been like, "Hey man, I'm sorry you're so poor. Like I live in St. Louis and like I own this restaurant or whatever, and you can come get a meal on me." And that's not a joke. Another one, I'll shout out my boy, Kevin Safour. He emailed me and said, you should open up the show every time you lose with five new ways you can make money now that you can't make money at NFL DFS anymore. And, he reminded me, oh dude, I can just recycle cans. I can just start recycling cans. I drink like 15 of these, diet iced teas a week. And I can just start recycling these cans, and that's my new form of rake back. That's how I'm going to get there.
Nate, you should start sending them all your sugar-free Red Bull
cans. All my sugar-free Red Bull cans. That's how you can donate to the Davis Matic GoFundMe.
Dude, you guys could play heads up for cans. That would be fun.
Davis, I'm sorry, dude.
What are you going to do?
Last week was like a fun watching Davis. This is sad.
this is a month for Davis.
At this point, I'm just embracing it, bro. And thankfully, NBA's back. I've had three very good slates of NBA to start the year, so my account balance is not on zero.
Nobody loses at NBA.
No one loses at NBA, except for when Andre Drummond gets foul trouble immediately, and then you lose at NBA. I have lost at one night at NBA, and I closed my laptop down at like 7:45 because it was so obvious I was going to lose. It's just crazy, dude.
Guys, why did I jam in Waller? I could have had a month.
Dude, I updated my roto tracker this last week.
Depression.
I had to do it because NBA season was starting and I needed to like know like where I, and also like taxes and stuff were coming up. So I kind of need to know.
You actually might not.
I sent this email to my account and I was like, I don't think we're getting a 1099 this year. Here's this. Okay. This is a true story. I've won the mini max, which is the DraftKings $1 GPP with $150 or 150 entries. I've won that five times in the calendar year of 2019 in different sports. I'm not gonna get a 1099 from DraftKings.
NFL's not over, Davis. Keep firing.
We're not getting back to eBuddy. We're trying. I would like to get back to 20%. If I could get back 80% of what I've lost this year, I think we would be good. That's a reasonable goal. Because I was playing way too fast and loose at the beginning of the year. I was like, I was putting way too many teams in every GPP and just like getting like just being stupid. And you gotta live with that.
Looks like Christian McCaffrey's 10K next week.
Are you still playing 300 showdown lineups every week, Davis? Cause that might be a spot you're dunking on.
So per my roto tracker, that's a little bit of a leak.
Yeah.
So I'm just down to like 200. I'm just like down to 200 now. My teams were good in this Chiefs slate because Damian Williams luckboxed a touchdown after LeSean McCoy fumbled. I had like 60% Damian Williams who had zero touches through three quarters. Pretty sharp.
Well, and anytime you just miss the cash line, you just got to jam in Damian Williams in a bunch of showdown. Hope it works
out. Here's the thing, buddy. You can't get back to E sitting on the sidelines.
It's very true.
No, actually, so I was looking at the salaries for next week's slate, and I gotta be honest with you guys. It looks like perhaps the least appetizing DFS slate in the history of it, like I've ever seen. It is horrible. I could not identify a second play to put in my placeholder after Christian McCaffrey.
What are the odds that you take the week off?
Oh, zero.
I like your style.
I have a podcast to produce.
That's true.
Zero.
I mean, look at these games. Tampa Bay against Seattle. Like, obviously the Tampa Bay guys are going to be useless in Seattle. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are too expensive. Anyways, Minnesota against Kansas City. They're going to have a really low – like, I don't even look at the line.
Kenny Galladay is the second highest priced wide receiver.
Yeah, Kenny Galladay is 7,700.
7.7. Holy.
Oh, bro, you just jam in Packers and Chargers.
Zach Ertz, though, is 4,700, while Hunter Henry's priced all the way up at 6K.
Seems like a little expensive for Zach Ertz, but
okay. Sammy, I gotta play for you though. Ryan Griffin, 3.4K at the Miami Dolphins. I think that's a smash for you.
A little more expensive than I generally like to go at tight end. We'll see.
Well, Dallas Goedert, 3,100.
Now you're talking my language.
I mean, guys, this is bad. This is so bad.
Like, literally, we are – Odell Beckham is 6.6, while Godwin and Galladay are 7.3 and 7.7, respectively. This
is Godwin going to go in the first round of seasonal leagues next year?
He might. He's still – I mean, what is he, 23? Yeah, he might. What's Juju going to do next year? Like, is
–
I think the Juju hype train – is going to be the Godwin hype train next year. Everybody who drafted Juju way high this year is going to be drafting.
Why are you subtweeting me right now knowing that I just took such an L today?
Because you influence my seasonal picks because I don't do seasonal. I don't really get into football till DFS.
I mean, the math behind Juju was fine. It's just like if you're going to project Ben Roethlisberger to die, yeah, Juju's not going to be very good.
Because basically any bad Davis takes throughout the offseason ends up influencing my seasonal teams. Because, like, dude, I do seasonal drafts. I haven't done enough research yet.
I have a lot of very good seasonal teams, so you must have not been using the projections the right way, Nate. That's all I'm saying.
I went way high, Juju, DJ, things like that. Should not have done.
Bro, well, DJ's been really good. DJ's been really good. He got hurt. What do you want him to do?
And Nate, you got to understand something about seasonal. It's like it's more of an art than a science.
It's more of an art, bro. You gotta let Sammy. I think you kind of have to let the draft come to you.
That's right.
I feel bad, dude. This show is not funny enough. Like, people are gonna be like amped to listen to this, and they're gonna be like, actually, that sucked. And none of them had enough energy, and Nate didn't come in until 30 minutes through and just started tilting Leonard Fournette.
Look, I mean, people really liked you last week because you were just on full blown tilt. But you're at like the fourth stage now. You've gone past the tilt stage, and you're getting towards acceptance. And
everyone you need to book a win just for the show.
Everyone who gambles a lot just understands that like when you're the cooler, that's just the way it goes. And you're not gonna fix it by trying harder. You're not gonna fix it by like doing something different. You're just like, that's the downswing and that's just how it goes.
what did you guys end up this is very sage words. That's the saddest thing I've ever
heard.
That was
the saddest thing that we've ever said on this podcast.
Dude, it's just true though. Like when you're in a downswing, you're in a downswing, and like you're not gonna like magically put enough elbow grease into like the Daily Roto optimizer to make it give you like the magic nuts. Like you just gotta wait for like other people to be worse than you.
Some people are pretty bad, as we found out.
Tried to be Davis. You had a $500 head-to-head where a guy played Saquon. I don't know what else you're gonna get.
I sent that guy $1K for this week.
Double down.
Davis is recycling cans trying to get to 1K.
Somehow this dude is going to play Ryan Tannehill against Tennessee or against Carolina and beat me. He's probably going to play Jonnu Smith, Sammy.
I mean, the reality is 33% of people didn't play Latavius Murray. 70% of people didn't play Michael Thomas. I mean,
and I was part of that like 3% that somehow like, so like that Venn diagram of 80 fantasy points was there. And there was a very small little sliver right there in the middle of people who didn't cash.
It's just a 5'5" sliver of just Davis Matic.
Michael Thomas thing was hilarious because everybody was all week like defense, tough matchup. It's Michael friggin' Thomas, guys. Like, if
yeah, Sammy and I were talking about mattered, that.
Like, it's Michael Thomas. Like, but I do think, I mean, Hopkins was a good play as well. So if people paid up for Hopkins instead, I mean, I don't hate them as much, but.
Actually, you're really bad if you did that. Michael Thomas was projected for 5 more points than DeAndre Hopkins. You were actually bad if you played Hopkins over Thomas.
I mean, I didn't, so I'm just saying it.
I'm just letting anyone know out there, you were bad. I'm not giving you a pass.
Davis, you just need to follow the optimizer more, the DR projections. Like last week, you played Andrews instead of Waller.
We don't need to get into the Mark Andrews death.
You played Brate over Jonnu. Just follow the projections.
Davis, last week you played Latavius Murray at what salary, and now you're going to play him at 7K, like lock?
I actually locked Latavius in all like 200 of my MME teams.
Yeah, that's 100% of lineups.
That was how I actually made money today. Was I locked him and I had Michael Thomas in like 65%, and I had a bunch of Cooper Kupp.
I had 60% DD in GPP, so it was a little rough. So
RIP Nate. I mean, the reality is Latavius. If Alvin Kamara were 5.8, would you play him? Of course.
Latavius had what did he have? 9 targets going into halftime. What was that that I texted you? Yeah. I mean, Latavius. It was just.
You know what my favorite thing is? Latavius. Everyone spent all day drooling over this like one really good Saquon Barkley run. Like he like bounced off a guy and then shoved another New York Giants defender down and then hurdled another one.
Yeah, bro. It was like Mario where he gets star power. Like he was invincible.
That run happened when they were down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
But Saquon has one of those runs like every week. When he touches the ball over.
It's like really good. It's like really good at helping his team be 2-7.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something with like DFS. No, you're just trying to book a win on a take.
There's no need to book a win on that take. That's a big fat W in the book of Davis Matic. There are still Daniel Jones truthers. That guy is Brock Osweiler.
But not as good looking.
Was Brock Osweiler good looking?
Very handsome.
Well. Anyone have final thoughts?
Yeah, I think Sammy needs to evaluate his thought process on Mike Williams.
Mike Williams was very thin because he is a career long dude who gets air yards and that doesn't necessarily translate. He scored 11 touchdowns last year, but I think he had like 400 yards.
Yeah, you know, Nate, I looked at my DraftKings account after this slate. It just said full.
DK account balance full. Full.
Sammy doing all right. Mike Williams is a beta.
Well, there's no denying that.
Yeah. Oh, what did you guys real fast? What did you guys do at defense? Did you both go Chargers?
Yeah.
I thought they were like a lock.
They were what, 2.3, right?
Yeah, against Trubisky.
How many points did they end up getting?
9, which would have been fine, except for Jacksonville got 15.
Yeah. That was a good play. I played the Lions, and they got a touchdown right off the bat. So, like, they scored, and Jonnu scored, and I was like, okay, I'm going to be rich. They ended up with 11, and they were at 2.8. I thought that was fine.
They gave up so many garbage time points. Like, the most, like they were up, like, 34-10, and then just Daniel Jones was just like, oh, seeing these backup safeties and his eyes got big.
Yeah, and then they didn't cover. Like, that was the situation you wanted where, like, Daniel Jones is throwing, and you know he's going to throw. Like, that was great. I'm kind of disappointed they only got 11, honestly.
Yeah.
Such is life.
All right. It is
this is our worst podcast of the season.
It's just really bad.
Oh, by far. I blame you, Nate, honestly.
I own that one. I fell asleep and, slept through my life.
I did not have the energy or the life force to give the people what they needed. I didn't have it in me. Like, last week I was in more like a maudlin mood, but like, I just want to go to bed. So that's where we're at with that.
Do it. And when you stop by that guy's restaurant to get his free food, you can tell us about it.
Tweet about it.
Dude, he said he had the best barbecue in St. Louis. So I'm probably going to go get a free meal, if I'm going to be honest.
Who needs food stamps when you got people on Twitter?
Recycling cans, bro. I got a life plan. Here's the thing. I'll leave you guys with this, because everyone deserves to have something funny in this podcast. I've been saving up my crowns on DK for so long because I wanted to flex having a million crowns, but I think I'm just gonna have to turn them into DK cash now, right?
They'll have to be your entries for next week.
Davis is just going all in. He's taking all of the diet iced teas and all the DK crowns. And he's accepted all of your head-to-heads. Bring it on.
I've had this Bovada bonus locked up in my – oh, I'm not even supposed to say that on this podcast. I've had this offshore sportsbook bonus in my account forever, but I can't withdraw any money. I have all this money locked up, but I can't withdraw it because it's locked up in like a Bitcoin bonus. So I just like bet like 200 player props today just to like start clearing my bonus.
Hey, at least Bitcoin's up this week.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you imagine if Bitcoin was down like 20% during this swing?
I mean, it would be very tough for you.
I'll gotta be honest. My like block folio, like refreshing has definitely gone up. Yeah, I got a lot of coins to get. I gotta get rid of like all these like horrible alt bags though. Like I just don't need them anymore. So if anyone wants to buy some Stellar Lumens from me,
David's got a smoking deal. We'll play heads up for Stellar Lumens.
And we'll see you next week, folks.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.